Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're going to play a clip from Stu Peters and his guest with Jane Ruby. And folks, listen very carefully to this. I'm replacing this clip now. Tomorrow evening, we're going to play another very, very interesting clip. But go ahead and take it away, Mighty Andrew.
Well, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, you know, the people who brought you lockdowns and Dr. Fauci and mandates, have now brought you something else. This month, the FDA put out a draft guidance for industry on human gene therapy products incorporating human genome editing. Dr. Jane Ruby joins us now to discuss what all of this means. What the hell is this?
You know, Stu, while everybody's poring over these FOIA document dump, you know, from Pfizer, half of the stuff was already out anyway, and I don't mean to disparage it, but, you know, there were a few new pieces, and I've already reported on them. I'm digging through the FDA's guidance documents for industry, which is, even though it sounds like a suggestion, they're actually expectations that are pretty solid, and this is the way we've always had to run clinical trials, according to these parameters. Well, what they slipped in this month, and they've been actually creating guidance documents since 2015, are documents that tell industry, companies in the pharmaceutical industry, how they want them to run studies to look at safety and efficacy in gene editing, human genome editing. I mean, it's right there in your face. And you know, Stu, this is why I want to reiterate, it's so incredibly important to stop calling it a vaccine. You've heard Dr. David Martin say, you're using the words of the criminals. Well, let me take this one step further. By continuing to call it a vaccine, you're really rooting it in that. And under the parameters for developing vaccines, you apparently, which I don't agree with anyway, but you apparently don't have to use as many safety type studies. You don't have to do as much follow-up. You're really off the hook. I'm not sure who created those particular laws and regulations, but for the purposes of our discussion, they are really, we know they're gene editing. We've seen them in the vials. We've had it analyzed. The companies themselves, Moderna, hacking the software of life, Pfizer talking with the EMA, the European Medicines Agency, which is the equivalent of the FDA, in their leaked documents that they didn't think anybody would see, you know, arguing sort of in asking the EMA to let them live with, you know, just 50% of those vials containing mRNA, and the rest of it is sort of a leeway that they can do anything they want with.
This is the number one issue facing America right now, is these shots. And you're right, they can't be called vaccines because they don't protect you or provide immunity from anything. As a matter of fact, they have negative efficacy. You're more likely to get sick after this injection. They are also not experimental shots. They're not experimenting with anything. They experimented with this stuff way back when they developed this stuff. These are not experimental. This is a planned bioweapon. And by the way, these are not adverse events or side effects. These are intended and planned consequences. This is exactly what they wanted to happen.
Here's the deal. If you let them keep calling it a vaccine and you're not calling it gene editing, human genome editing, they're getting away with not looking at safety and efficacy. And you know, use the words of the criminals. The FDA itself has laid out certain parameters. And just let me give people the titles. The March 2022 drop of this new guidance document was called Human Gene Therapy Products Incorporating Human Genome Editing, Draft Guidance for Industry. The other one from 2015 that is really telling, Stu, is called Considerations for the Design of Early Phase Clinical, that's human, trials of cellular and gene therapy products. Now, let me tell you what they say in this document, two or three important points. They say that this is unique material. It is known to have prolonged bioactivity in the body. There are huge unknown, the level of unknown risks, they say, are not only extensive, but they're huge. They also talk about the uncertainty. They also talk about the persistence in the body, that there are evolving effects, severe immune reactions that will occur over time, and that there's no way to control it once it's inside. When you look at this CRISPR technology, which is really just an acronym for a long sentence that basically says, we're going to go in, we can chemically snip out a portion of your God-given genes in a line, in a double strand of DNA, and we're going to insert something else. Now, you have to be very sure that there's a precision to that. But when you put it inside a dynamic human body, Stu, you have other, so many other hundreds, maybe thousands of processes going on. You're a living, breathing, dynamic organism. You have no idea what's going to happen to your body with this over the years.
Somebody does. Somebody knows exactly what's going to happen. Just like we had no idea in March of 2020 what was really coming our way with this COVID-19 and this pandemic, and there was this outbreak, and it was in China, and a pangolin or a bat in some lab and a leak and all this other crap. Those people knew way back as early as 1990. And documents prove 2005, 2015. Dr. David Martin has done a great job of this. And now Dr. Brian Artis is coming out saying, hey, this is as early as 1990. And they know exactly what this stuff is going to do to you, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, one of the comments in this guidance document said, this is not for healthy volunteers, which is normally part of phase one in the beginning of the human trials. You have to very, very ginger, five or six people. You test a little bit of it to get some pharmacokinetic parameters. They say it's not for healthy volunteers. And yet Moderna and Pfizer are actively seeking the approval or emergency use authorization for 6-month-old babies now up through the lifespan. This is incredibly dangerous. It's never been used in humans. It has never been properly studied. It's not ready for any kind of prime time. And we're just about to find out, you know, what's happening here. Stu, they know because they've created guidance documents for the pharmaceutical companies. Look, this is a combination of programs. It's mass genocide. It's disarming immune systems. That's why they want you to keep taking it. It's a priming mission. The more graphene you get into your body, the more you are filled with what is going to potentially be self-assembling circuitry for the ability to control functions in your body externally from an external source. And I'm not getting conspiracy theory now. I'm actually basing this on a whole host of evidence, documents. It's more than just patents, which is possibilities. This is known information. And if you watch the Dr. Jane Ruby show, all this week, you're going to see it all laid out, especially the show today, Stu.
Wow. Which is immediately following this program. Don't miss that. You can find it on Rumble over at StuPeters.com, the Roar Nation Network. The Dr. Jane Ruby show is exploding, and it's because you educate us about things like this. And you know, the sad thing is, we have talked about how this is the number one issue pressing America. But now, of course, we're supposed to think that it's Ukraine and food shortages and all these other things, which are imminent. These things are coming. But this is the number one issue. They are changing your God-given DNA. And meanwhile, Congress, this is publicly discoverable. All of this stuff. You found it.
Absolutely.
This is our United States government talking about this stuff in these memos, in these releases, in this guidance that they're actually publishing and hoping that just nobody will discover because they're not going to do a press conference on it. When's the last time you saw Pfizer or Moderna doing a press conference or the FDA for that matter? They're not doing them. They don't care. They don't care because Congress is so compromised that they just give this to you, which brings me to my point. Still yet, even though our government is acknowledging all of this stuff by their own writings, by their own publications, the HHS, the Department of Health and Human Services, the FDA are putting this stuff in writing. Not one single elected representative has called any attention to it at all.
Absolutely. And the scary thing is, Stu, I've talked to some experts lately, and I've said, because I can't seem to get an answer from Dr. Robert Malone, how do you reverse this thing you created? What these other, you know, he's not the only expert on the planet. What some of these other experts have said to me is it's likely going to take another injection. And the scary part of that is, Stu, again, you can't control this stuff when it gets into the dynamic nature of the human body. And so you're going to have to send something in to try to correct it, but that itself can go haywire and create all kinds of problems. And I just want to emphasize, please don't bring babies and children in for this until you know much more about this, whoever you are out there that's thinking, oh, yay, you know, my 6-month-old is eligible now.
Dr. Jane Ruby, thank you so much. The Dr. Jane Ruby Show coming up immediately following this. We'll see you.
All right. Brian and Joe knows for years, going all the way back to the late 1980s, I would go into the meetings. They would have these meetings and there would be the World Health Organization, it would be Planned Parenthood, Sierra Club, the ACLU, all these far-left groups. And the topic, the purpose would be talking about depopulating the planet. going all the way back then, their goal was to reduce the Earth's population down to 500 million people. Now, it's an interesting thing because they didn't know who I was, so I sat in there and they spoke openly. And they talked about the different ways of doing it, of course, abortion and euthanasia, and they talked to start wars that they can control, and famine, starvation. But one of the main things they talked about was vaccines. Now, a little later on, when Bill Gates came in on the scene, and he was with his vaccines, so on and so forth. They referred to at one point where in Africa, the human papillomas? What is that they call the papillomas virus? I remember.
HPV.
Yeah, HPV.
Right.
And, yeah, I think it's the human papillomas virus. But anyhow,
there was.
They were talking about how actually eight times as many girls in Africa that got the vaccine died from the vaccine than died from the HPV. And when that happened, they stood and applauded. These are people that are talking about depopulating the planet. Now, who's involved in all of this, folks? Let me tell you, the mainstream, what they call mainstream media, is up to their eyeballs in there. There is no Antichrist lie that these people, what they call it, the narrative. They're actually contracted to lie. Of course, they don't use the word lie. They use the word narrative. So whatever that the so-called narrative is, that's when the echo chamber kicks in, and you'll hear them repeating the same thing, and they'll look you right in the eye, and they will lie to you, knowing that they're doing that to you. And so, anyhow.
That was very gravitas, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah. That was weird because nobody knew what that word meant. People were scrambling, but it was on every liberal newscast. That word, I remember everybody was, what does it mean? People were grabbing dictionaries and you realize.
Yeah, every time they knew it, learned a new word, you would hear it repeated over and over and over. And so, but anyhow. So there you go. So what we're talking about, this is the days that the Lord Jesus referred to as the time of sorrows, or this is the evil day that we're living in today. Now, the good news is there's never been a time in history that we could shine, that we could place up more crowns in heaven right now. This is our time to run to the battle. It's our time to fight. And this is no time to be afraid, because, you know, it's an amazing thing when you hear people say, I'm so afraid of dying. You're going to die, right? And if you're going to die, yeah, you might as well die fighting on the Lord's side. Am I right?
That's right.
And so, that's what we've got. We've got to get that message out to the people out there that they've got to do that. Now, you're making a point there too, Brian. Here, you know, we talked about Daniel being a sheriff, and we need to go back. We need to take it back to our local government. But something I think has happened too.
Pastor?
Yeah.
Can I throw in also in chapter 6 said that and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes, there were 120 princes under. So he was also a president.
Yeah, they referred to him as president and sheriffs. And so, yeah, you'll see he's referred to there, too, as a sheriff. So, but anyhow, here, let me take that back to what we were talking about. If we turn to Hebrews chapter 13, Joe, and read verse 7 and 17. It's Hebrews 13.
Hebrews 13.
7 and 17.
7 and 17. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow considering the end of their conversation. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that might must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you.
Okay, so let me ask you this. If you're a governor and you're a professing Christian, are you to go to the pastor, the man of God, and say, what saith the Lord God, like King David did and like the kings of old? Is he telling you, does that apply to kings and governors and senators and congressmen?
Sure does. Them that have rule over you.
Okay, so should pastors understand that, and should pastors get up and make sure that they preach that gospel, thus saith the Lord God, and boldly do it and lead the people and not be afraid of losing their 501c3? So should they?
We may boldly say, you know.
Yeah, and that's been part of my heart recently, is to see the not pastors and the churches, but take that rightful place in society at the helm, you know, because we're the ones that steer this thing. And for our elected officials, I mean, there used to be back in the day when someone would be elected, and before they got sent to Washington, before they met with a publicist or anybody, they met with a minister from their region, and the minister said, this is what the Lord wants you to do in Washington. You know, and that's what we're fighting to get back to a church and the ministers to be at their rightful place.
Well, we had what was called the Black Robe Regiment, and we still actually have it today. I'm a member of the Black Robe Regiment, and that's pastors who hold to the Word of God. And they understand that, just like the founding fathers. Most of those that led into the battle were pastors. And many of those that signed the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, were pastors. And so this nation was nation as one nation was founded, one nation under God. And that's why she was good, because she was good. But America has lost this. And the Bible says that all nations that forget their God are turned into where? All nations that forget their God are turned into hell.
Hell, yes.
Okay. And so we have to stand and fight back. But it's not just the pastors. The Christians are supposed to support those pastors, aren't they?
All believers, yes, sir.
But our job is to lead, and so that's what we're here for tonight. And I get warned a lot by people all the time, Pastor, please be careful. Please, you know, you're saying things that's making the FBI and these other people nervous. Because we've exposed, Brian, I mean, we have really exposed a lot of corruption over the years, a lot of it. And but again, you know, here's the other thing, too. You hear these people saying, how can we win? There's too many of them. We're surrounded. They're all against us. Okay. Now, did the Lord Jesus, did he command us to go out and fight the fight? And what did he say about the victory?
The victory was his. He said
he'll bring the victory with him. So we don't have to worry about that victory part, right? We just got to follow orders, right?
Victory's been won. We have to hold the line, follow the order. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, look at Gideon. He kept whittling the troops down. I think that's what he's doing today. He's whittling it down to the faithful who will obey him, who will go out and fight the fight, the good fight of faith.
Amen. All right. Brian, tell the folks again about the 5th. Tell them where and all the information.
Absolutely. Patriot Pastors Unite. We're calling for pastors and ministry leaders to come and have a time of worship, prayer, and praying for our nation and our state of Ohio and the local government officials. And it's going to be at the House of Restoration in Milford, Ohio, It is at 1487 State Route 131 in Milford, and our website is HOFR.org. Church phone number is 513-575-2011. And I was just informed by text that we will be having food afterwards. We are partnering with the Resistance Chicks. They're two young ladies that are in this from Milford, and they do a lot of stuff for in this area. And they're going to be bringing in some pizza. So we will have some food afterwards for you, Pastor. So no worries.
All right. Okay, very good. Now we're going to kind of shift things up a little bit and go over here to some fast-paced articles, some very, very fast-paced articles. The one we want to do, I want to start out with, folks, you're all familiar with World News Daily. And here, Joseph Farah was a good friend of mine way back when he first got started. But now, today, David Kapilian, is heading things up over there. And here, they're going after, they're trying to shut them down. Facebook and Google, they have demonetized World News Daily. And so, anyhow, World News Daily needs some help right now. And this ministry is going to send them some help. World News Daily has been on the cutting edge. They have not compromised. They've been right there. And boy, they have not stood down. And so I just want to tell you here that they could use some help. If you want to send a donation to World News Daily, their address is WND 580 East Street, P.O. Box 100. That's 580 East Street, P.O. Box 100, Hawthorne. That's Hawthorne, Nevada. And the zip is 89415, 89415. And so I would do that. We're definitely going to do it here because I can tell you they're a fighter. They will stand and they will fight. And so we've got to stand and fight with them. So I praise the good Lord for that, for those folks there. Now, a couple fast articles I wanted to say here. This is something that you haven't heard, folks, but we've got it on pretty good information that they tried to poison Justice Clarence Thomas. That's right. Stories that the Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas was admitted to Sibley Hospital in Washington, D.C. after physicians diagnosed him with a viral infection are false, and said high-ranking white hat military sources who claimed our nation's tenured conservative justice ingested a near-lethal dose of thallium. Tasteless, colorless, odorless thallium is a chemical element with the symbol TI and atomic number 81. It is a gray post-transition metal that is not found free in nature. When isolated, thallium resembles tin, but discolors when exposed to air. Soluble thallium salts, many of which are nearly tasteless, are highly toxic, and they were historically used as rat poison and insecticides. The use of these compounds have been restricted or banned in many countries because of their non-selective toxicity. Because of its historic popularity as a murder weapon, thallium has gained notoriety as the poisoner's poison and the inheritance powder. Ahead of falling ill, Justice Thomas and his wife, Virginia, dined at Mazzi in an upscale eatery in downtown D.C. Several hours later, he experienced symptoms such as difficulty concentrating, gastronomical distress, shortness of breath, vomiting, diarrhea. He initially attributed the symptoms to a nasty case of heartburn and a gastrointestinal reflux because of disease, and taking Tums and Mylanta to ease the discomfort. But as symptoms worsened and his complexion grew pallid, his wife insisted he visited the hospital. At Sibley Hospital, physicians tested him for COVID-19 negative. Administered a battery of tests that included a comprehensive blood panel. Either by her tenor, sheer incompetence, physicians diagnosed him with a nonspecific upper respiratory viral infection. An ordinary person would have been sent home with antibiotics, but Justice Thomas, owing to his position on the bench, was admitted to for observation. When we learned the next day that Thomas got sick and was admitted to Sibley, well, it aroused suspicion for two very important reasons. First, we heard that reports the deep state might try to take out conservative justices in retaliation for Sotomayor's arrest and impending it. Second, for the people saying judicial prominence is customary. Well, right now, I mean, this is a long article, so I'm not going to go the whole way, but right now, they're going after, they're trying to impeach him. Joe, you want to take that one?
I sure do. Jonathan Turley, who is a liberal, he is a constitutional attorney, but he has been on the liberal side, says there are absolutely no grounds for impeaching Clarence Thomas. And the whole thing was started by that Ilhan Omar, there, the Democrat Congress critter from Minnesota, and because some things that his wife is a conservative activist. And so they don't like that, and they're saying that because he's on the bench, his wife, you know, can't go out and be an activist, can't participate, say anything, Virginia, you know, Thomas, and that this creates a conflict of interest. But she, one of the things that they claim is she believes that the election was stolen by Biden, and they're using that as grounds that they want to impeach Clarence Thomas because his wife made these statements that she didn't think the election was free and fair. So Turley says, well, millions of people believe that the election was rigged, and many millions still do, and it's still, there's no evidence that she encouraged violence or, you know, was in the Capitol building or did anything impeachable. And she is, like all the rest of you out there, entitled to her opinion. So that should, you know, pretty much settle things. One of the best constitutional voices out there, and I'm sure we'd hear the same thing from others, but, you know, our press, they don't want to put anything much out that goes against the narrative.
That's not my press. Believe me, I've got nothing to do with them.
The U.S. press.
But let me just tell you this. Even 38% of the Democrats have said they believe that there was election fraud, that the election was stolen. Now, we told you, remember, going all the way back, what happened in on November 3rd of 2016, the night that Trump won the election, we made a statement right here live on the radio that the election in 2020 was going to be the most corrupt, and we said it right like that night. You would have voter fraud, unprecedented voter fraud, far beyond. See, what they failed to do in 2016, they said we were not going to fail again. Remember, Mark Zuckerberg says we'll not fail again, and he spent $370 million. $370 million. He came right out and said that he can influence and he could turn over 15 million votes. And so there you go.
Well, you can see how this goes. Senator Barbara Boxer is calling Ginny Thomas a colluder. And one of the reasons that we have to impeach her husband. But remember, it was Boxer back in January of 2005 led a challenge to George Bush's victory over John Kerry there in Ohio, charging Republicans stole the election. So she received praise for that, challenging that the Republicans stole the election in Ohio. And so all her colleagues praised her, but now I guess Virginia Thomas can't have an opinion.
Now, do you remember something very special about that time? over that election. Remember, John Kerry went on C-SPAN. And they asked him, if you could attribute your loss to one particular thing, what would it be? Do you remember what his answer was?
I sure do. It was Christian talk radio in Ohio.
Well, he said AM talk radio in Cleveland, in Cleveland, Ohio. And that was Jerome Corsi and me. We broke the story all about Mr. Kerry, how he had changed his name from Cohen, how his initials were to be JFK.
Okay, right.
We told the whole story about the Swift boat, how he threw a grenade into a sand pen, got hit in the backside with some rice, tried to get a Purple Heart. We told the whole story about what the men, his men, thought about him. And so we exposed all of that. And
well,
Kerry said,
Christian talk radio, because you and Jerome Corsi were very Christian.
Yeah, well, he actually said AM. I remember listening to him.
Yeah.
And when he, what happened was the RNC called me and said, we've got your back. And I wasn't sure if that was a good thing or not. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, it could go either way on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. That made me a little, a little nervous. All righty.
Well, it depends on the day.
Yeah, you're right. We'll hit some fast things. And you just jump in here and give your commentary. Report, Disney will take action against Texas for order calling sex change procedures for children child abuse. And Disney has become a hotbed of pedophilia. They have been for years. We've talked about this for years. That whole Disney group down there are very, very prone. In fact, recently they had a raid and arrested a number of Disney employees. But there's been a real, and I believe that a lot of these missing children have gone through Disney with the human trafficking down there. But here, the Human Rights Campaign, LGBTQ activist organization, purchased an ad in the Dallas Morning News earlier this month, announcing that more than 60 major companies have signed on its open letter opposing hateful attacks. In other words, that means if you've got any kind of, first of all, LGBT, that's lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers. Actually, they added the queer part on themselves. I didn't even have to put that on. But folks, listen to this. God has said that that's an abomination in his sight. So their argument is with God. And nobody's ever won an argument with God, okay?
Well, it's even worse than that. Christopher Rufo put up a video of a virtual meeting there. Disney executives were responding to Florida's parental rights bill, and the executive producer for Disney disclosed that her team had already implemented her, quote, not at all secret gay agenda. That she and her colleagues are adding queerness to the children's programming. And another one, corporate president Kathy Burke said, quote, listen, as the mother of one transgender child and one pansexual child, she supports having many, many, many LGBTQIA characters in our stories. She wants a minimum of 50% of the characters to be LGBTQA and racial minorities. So here it is. They came out. It's in public. The not at all secret gay agenda by Disney's top executives. And we have it on camera.
All right. Very good.
They added some letters there. What does the IA stand for? That's new to me.
You know, I don't really know. I did know that they added those letters. Do you know, Joe?
No, I can't remember anymore. That it's lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing, queers, and I know what the AI stands for now. Intersex, probably, or something.
How about idiot?
Yeah, that'd be work. That'd probably work. Idiot, yeah. Or something.
Anyhow, Hunter Biden's laptop now a national security threat. Okay,
they said that wasn't real. Now they say it is, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's real.
And we did it a long time ago.
But they will do anything and everything to try to keep the focus. the fake news media, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, PMS, NBC, they're all, their idea is to keep our attention off of this, you know, and that's what they try to do. They got to protect the collective. But here, I saw some of the photographs that come off that, some of the pictures, and well, there's some that we, you know, really can't talk about on the air because they're not, I mean, it's pornography, but the one that really got me was here you've got Joe Biden, Jobama, as he's called. You want to see this. There's this little boy, and the boy's about, I would say, 4 or 5 years old. And Joe has got his hands, on this little boy's face, you know, and his lips are about a half inch away from this little boy. He's trying to kiss this little boy on the lips. And, boy, I'm going to tell you just something so evil about that. And the look in the little kid's face, the whole entire Democratic Communist Party is just so filled with pedophilia. I mean, it is filled with pedophilia nowadays. And a lot of this stuff's coming back. Now, this is why...
I'm not trying to hide it anymore.
Well, you know, Brian, a lot of this, what's happening, why the FBI and others are trying to hide this, there's a lot of them involved. Not only were they involved in the cover-up and that, but there's a lot of them involved in the pedophilia. And so a lot of the higher-ups, there's this mindset out there today that if you're powerful enough, you can do whatever you want. And so here... And now they're, you know, Trump has got that lawsuit against Hillary. The problem we have, that Trump has, is we don't have a Justice Department. It is no longer a separate branch of government. It's literally a part of the Democratic Party. And Merrick Garland, he's just a dirty cop. He's as crooked gets. He really is.
He wasn't really even a cop. He's just a Democrat activist put in the role of a cop.
Well, when they call attorney generals, they call them cops. They call
right.
them top cops. So.
He should have even he has no background for it.
You're telling me. Anyhow, just a collection of plastic case parts and electronic circuits. Hunter Biden's laptop computer abandoned in a repair shop has been in the headlines for months already. It's revealed his trafficking with prostitutes, his influence on biolabs in Ukraine, his business deals involving overseas power players and influencers. He goes on, it was revealed by the New York Post just before the 2020 election, but a collection of legacy and social media companies conspired to suppress the reporting, a move that a poll later suggests allowed Joe Biden to win an election, otherwise he would have lost. Now the laptops are being described as a national security threat. It is Margot Cleveland, a senior contributor to the Federalist, who clerked for federal appellate judges for years, who wrote about her concerns. She cited a recent Daily Mail report that linked Hunter Biden's financing a U.S. military bioweapons research program in Ukraine. The Daily Mail, with access to the copy of the hard drive, said Russian governments claim that Hunter Biden helped finance U.S. military bioweapons research program in Ukraine may well be true. That the report said is according to emails and correspondence obtained by Daily Mail from Hunter's abandoned laptop. The report explained that the emails show Hunter helped secure millions and millions and millions of dollars of funding for Metabiota, a Department of Defense contractor specializing in research on pandemic-causing diseases, and he also introduced Metabiota to an allegedly corrupt Ukrainian gas firm, Burisma, for a science project involving high biosecurity level labs in Ukraine. Well, one of the things, Joe, I'm not going to go on because it goes on.
It's a very long article and gets deep in the weeds.
Yeah, well, then this is part one. I got part two and part three.
Yeah.
But anyhow, you have what they found was they have come up with a COVID, like COVID-19, but one specifically geared to affect people of the Russian nationality, people of the Russian nationality with their specific genes, and they were, that was done right there in that Ukrainian, and the Russians knew about that, and they went and they busted up that lab, but that's what they're doing now. It's all biological warfare. We got to stop this insanity. And these people from Pfizer and Moderna, Fauci and the whole group, these are like mad scientists. These people need to be bought. Now, they know this, that if we should possibly have something called a fair and honest election, if we had a fair and honest election, the Democrats, okay, after that election would be, well, there'd be very few of them left.
They'd be wiped out.
Yeah, they would be. Now,
we could get the truth out.
Right. But they know that they've got to do something, because if that happens, then you know what will happen. We will end up with at some point with an actual attorney general, an honest one, and we get Trump back in office. There's a lot of scenarios, because they know that if, in fact, they win, they can appoint Trump Speaker of the House. We talked about that last night.
Right, they sure could, and he could be, because it's unknown to most people, it's not a requirement in the Constitution for the Speaker of the House to be an elected official.
And he would, what would he do? He
by the House representative.
And he would impeach Joe Obama. He would impeach Joe Obama. And what would happen there? Okay, so, and people say, well, what happens if he impeaches Joe Obama? He'd have to impeach Kamala Harris too, wouldn't he?
I think he'd have to go after a bunch of people.
Yeah, well, and there'd be an investigation, and like you have a whole Rand Paul, Jim Jordan, you've got Ted Cruz. A whole lot of them are just itching to be able to go after after these Democrats. Okay, and so they realize that. So they've got to come up with everything they can to keep people's attention off what's really happening.
Well,
so,
like today, one of the big things today is U.S. Congressman Matt Gaetz was questioning a FBI cybersecurity official about the Hunter Biden laptop that the Bureau took custody of way back in late 2019. And he asked the cyber division director, Brian Vordran, if he knew the whereabouts of the laptop that's at the center of this Justice Department investigation into Hunter Biden's, you know, business. I don't know the answer, the FBI official said. And that's astonishing, said Gaetz. Has the FBI cyber assessed whether or not Hunter Biden's laptop would be a point of vulnerability, allowing America's enemies to hurt our country? And he gave some long statement about Title 18 section code, which blah, blah. And then he said, well, the Hunter Biden laptop is not within the purview of my investigative responsibilities. Wait a minute. This guy is, what? Cyber Division Assistant Director looking at cyber attacks, dangers of things that are on the Internet. Well, we know that we think the Russians have gotten hold of some of the access to the, or have a copy of this hard drive. And so here's this guy, he's, wouldn't you want to know whether there are international business deals, kickbacks, shakedowns that are on this laptop that would make the First Family subject to some sort of compromise, Gaetz asked. And this guy repeated that the FBI, we don't know anything about it. So have you lost it? You know, doesn't this create some vulnerability, Gaetz asked. And he said, sir, we have multiple lines of investigative responsibilities at the FBI. They're all available in public sourced right. So we don't have an FBI anymore. It's gone. It's totally corrupt. They don't even know where the Hunter Biden laptop is. They confiscated. Give me a break.
Well, this is what we, again, do you remember when Chuckie Schumer said about Donald Trump, you go ahead, if you go up against the intelligence community, they've got ways of
Six
getting
ways
you
from Sunday to get you.
Right. And because they were working directly with the Democrats dark money and all kinds of corruption. I mean, again, the Democratic Communist Party is up to its eyeballs in everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls a sin. Everything. I've often said that if you could invent a new sin tonight, by tomorrow they'd have it in their platform.
It might take another day. They're sometimes a little slow getting things posted, but you got a point.
It is. So anyhow, but here now, you know, it's like Donald Trump next to, you know, going right along with it. I put him up there right with Ronald Reagan as the best president in my lifetime. And I go back with Harry Truman. And so Donald Trump was one of the best presidents. He did he did what he said he would do. He did what a president is supposed to do. He was a leader, okay?
Yeah, kept his promises, yeah.
Yeah, and oh, that's a no-no. And, you know, you actually had two senators got overheard saying, you know, if he keeps doing that, they'll expect all of us to do it, meaning keep their promises.
Keep their promises, yeah. What?
Yeah. Anyhow.
Another little humorous bit, Matt Gaetz also wanted to put the contents of Hunter Biden's computer into the congressional record. And Democrat Chairman Jerry Nadler, New York, was kind of a loss of words, stuttering, mumbling, and objected to the unanimous consent request after consultation. And he finally insisted that, well, further investigation is needed. But apparently he sat there with his mouth open for quite a while and then had to go confab with his partners in crime.
Overlord.
We can't put that in the congressional record. I thought that was great.
I've got a message for Jerry Nadler from God's Word, the Bible. Jerry Nadler, God's Word, the Bible says sodomy is an abominable sin. Yeah. Jerry Nadler, God says sodomy is an abominable sin. So, you know what? God says repent or perish, Jerry Nadler. Repent.
Yep.
That's what it says. Now, Clinton-appointed judge rules Trump more likely than not committed crimes when he attempted to obstruct Congress on January 6th. That's a lie told by a liar. That is a lie told by a liar. Trump told those people to be peaceful, to peacefully go up there. I heard him myself, and everybody else heard him himself. And so that is a lie told by a liar.
And liars have their place in the lake of fire.
And by the way, that federal judge's name was David Carter, U.S. District Judge David Carter, a Clinton bought and paid for judge.
Yeah. In fact, Trump delayed his speech, and he was late, so that put everybody, more people back where he was giving his speech, so less people would be at the Capitol when those proceedings started. So it seemed like Trump kind of heard the ground and knew what was going to happen, so he did what he could to keep everybody back, you know.
All right.
Flag was coming.
You're absolutely right. And Pastor Brian Shuttleworth, you get the honor. You've got 4 minutes. You get the honor. Could you give an invitation telling people how they can get to heaven and avoid hell?
Oh, I'd love to. Well, it's not overcomplicated. We believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the grave. We can believe it in our heart and confess it with our mouth. And the Bible says we shall be saved. And we get an opportunity to do that. And we can be forgiven of our sins and walk forward with Him and walk into a newness of life. And that is the most important decision you can make. And that's to know Him and to seek after Him every day of your life. And you wake up, we crucify the flesh daily, and we walk in Him and with Him, and we surrender our lives to Him, and He makes a way for us. And would you like me to pray with the people?
Yeah, you've got about 2 minutes to do that. Go ahead.
Okay. You can just repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you today, and I need you. And I believe in my heart that you died on the cross for my sin. And I confess with my mouth that you died on the cross and you rose from the grave. And I thank you, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Help me walk with you. And when I stumble, help me get back up and keep walking with you. Thank you for this new life. Thank you for helping me find a body of believers that will help me to believe on you every day. And we give you praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you very much. And again out there, Brian, do you think anyone's ever regretted getting saved and going to heaven?
I have never met one person that has regretted it.
Okay, now, you have...
Now, that has gotten saved. I haven't met anyone that's been to heaven yet. But
all right.
I don't think anybody's regretted going to heaven.
No. Well, you know, do you think that both in heaven and hell, they're all believers now, aren't they?
They sure are. They sure are.
No unbelievers in heaven or hell. And so the folks out there listening, I would say 100% of them are going to die, right? And
yes.
The Bible says it's appointed all men once to die and then the judgment. And so here now, there's nothing more accurate than God's word, the Bible. You've got 2,000 years of history here showing the accuracy of God's word, the Bible, folks. There is no better explanation in existence of where everything came into existence, what we're doing here, why we're here, and where we're going. And it speaks with absolute total authority. It's the Word of God. And so if you're out there listening tonight, you know what? You don't want to run out of tomorrow's tonight. All across this world, by this time tomorrow, many, many people that are here right now will not be here. They will have died. It's not a sin to die, but boy, or a shame to die, but to die in your sin, it don't get any worse, and you don't have to do that. Christ paid the price. He took your place upon that cross. He did it for you, okay? And folks, all you got to do is recognize that, realize that. He did the heavy lifting. He tells you, pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness. And once you've done that, you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, and dwelt with the Holy Spirit. You've got God's word on it, and there's nothing more sure than that. Brian, we're about to, the computer's going to shut us off. So get back with me. You know, we need to get back together in the next couple of days. And so we get, and I thank you for being here tonight. And I look forward to seeing you there on the 5th. So until tomorrow, we want to say good night. God bless.
God bless.
And always, 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 let's do it. Ready? Keep
fighting
the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left. Hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.